Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Plamencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
So if every monthly meeting that somebody has with their deacon board is all about the business of the church, you're missing out on, I think, where the relationship can be built.
I really think if the American mindset of within Baptist churches between pastors and deacons would step out of the boardroom and into the seashore with Jesus and his disciples and say it ought to be a little bit more of that than boardroom. Today's big idea is that it is possible to have a great relationship between you and your deacons. We're about to tell you how.
We are partnering with Revitalize Network for their inaugural convention in Bradenton, Florida. The Revitalize Convention will feature several experts in the field of church revitalization. Join us to learn more about church revitalization, connect with other church revitalizers, and be refreshed in beautiful Southwest Florida. The Revitalize Conference will happen April 20th through the 21st. You can register at revitalize2020.com. And you can apply to be a coach alongside Dr. Tom Rader by applying at ideanetwork.church/coaching. These 2 days will be jam-packed with opportunities to network and to learn. Come to Bradenton and get excited for church revitalization with others who share the same passion. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks.
He's laughing because I didn't know we started.
No, it's okay. We have a very special guest today.
We do.
Mike McConnell, our deacon chairman.
Yeah, and so for those who are listening to this regularly, you know that Drew, the best co-host, is a deacon in our church. Well, and whatever. And we're joined by one of our other deacons. This is the guy that you work with. In the deacon ministry.
I'm excited to be here, so.
Welcome, man.
Yeah.
Tell the audience what you do. What do you do for a living?
Oh, that's a tough question.
That is. So, it is a weird question.
I'm a businessman, so.
I've known you for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Longer,
yeah. We've known each other 11 years.
Okay, and every time you talk exactly about what you do for a living, I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, you're a businessman.
Yeah, it's complicated. So, yeah, I'm a businessman, so I've been doing franchise development work for decades, but yeah. I do IT development, software development work now, so.
Yeah. He's a brilliant guy, and not only is he a brilliant guy, but he does love the Lord, and he walks with Christ in an incredible way, and he works well in our deacon ministry. Now, you've been serving on our deacon's ministry for how long?
This is my ninth year.
Ninth year. So within 2 years, we got you on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I approached you pretty quick, didn't I?
Actually, yes, you did, but it was probably in the second year, but
okay.
The way you actually approached me was different. I really respected the way you approached me. It was different than probably—
Well, I don't remember how it happened. Tell me.
We actually just started the hospitality ministry at the old building, and we started the parking lot ministry, and you asked me, I need you to step up and serve in the parking lot ministry. Later, when you approached me—
Did I use those words, step up?
Yeah, because we hadn't been there very long.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we were serving yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we had come from back east, and it was, you actually said to us, me and my wife and family, just get used to the church, spend a year, just sit. And so you approached me first on that. And then I didn't think anything of it until we were at a men's retreat. And I think we both happened to get up really early one morning, and you said to me that you would like to consider me for a deacon. Mm. And one of the key points was when you asked me to serve in the parking lot, that gave you an indication. I wasn't looking to be a deacon. I wasn't looking for leadership. I was, tell me where you need me to serve and I'm going to serve. And so you told me that, hey, because I stepped up and served in the parking lot, I could be used anywhere. And so that's how you actually approached me. And then
I do remember that. Man, I had forgotten about that. Yeah. Man, time goes by. So for the last 10 years, 11 years, you've been at the church. The last 9 years, you've been serving as a deacon. It's been a great job. And you've seen deacons come on and off the board. Isn't that right?
Correct. Yes. As a matter of fact, the current board, we have 9 deacons now.
Yeah.
I think the next longest term has been 4 years, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's...
We run through them pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, some have moved on too. You know, others have gone into other ministries and other places. So.
Yeah, one of our favorites is on his way to Africa. Brandon Snook served on our deacon ministry for 10 years. Yeah. He was there before you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he was. Then now, and by the way, this is absolutely the perfect time for a commercial. If you do not support Brandon Snook, you need to go to snookstoafrica.com and you need to look up this missionary, incredible missionary, doctor going to Africa, and you need to support that mission for sure. Or call the church offices, right? Because they can talk to Pastor Fred and get connected in that way. So, Drew, how long have you been serving as a deacon at our church?
3 years. Okay. But if I'm mistaken, so 3 years as a deacon and two years as a deacon finance community.
Okay.
So
I really want to talk about the relationship between deacons and pastor. And we know that that's going to look different depending on what church you're in.
Sure.
Within the Baptist model, there are multiple ways that that can happen, right? So you can have a group of deacons that serve as kind of like a board. Maybe they serve as the board of trustees. Maybe they serve as a board that kind of leads the pastor and helps the pastor and guides the pastor. Mm-hmm. And then there are some that serve just simply as servants within the church. Mm-hmm. And then there are other churches that the church government set up with a pastor, elders, and deacons separately. The elders are more like the spiritual leaders, and the deacons are purely those who serve. So we're not talking about church government here. We're just talking about the typical church who might have a pastor and deacons, whether or not they lead him or whether or not the pastor leads them, whoever's in charge. We're not really focused on that. We want to talk about, regardless of the church government setup, how should the relationship be between the pastor and his deacon? So that's a broad question, but where would you go with that? If somebody came to you and said, hey, what's the relationship like between you and the pastor, and what should it be like? What would you say to that, Drew?
I think the biggest thing for me is it starts with a conversation and time spent. So with any relationship, we talk about time with each other and having open and honest conversations. Where is that person at in life? What season of life they're going, and what direction they're in? So for you and me, I still remember the very first sit down we had before I was a deacon. I was just a member of the church, and I just wanted to get on the same page with you as my pastor. Yeah. And then, the relationship started from there. And really for me, it's all about, I'm here to serve. I'm here as a servant of the church. It's not a position of authority or papal authority. I'm here for the church and trying to serve as best I can. That means not only serving the church, but also serving you personally and meeting your needs as a deacon and trying to help, encourage you, lift you up in prayer and that kind of stuff. Because that's my role.
Yeah. Mike, what would you say?
Yeah, I would second all that. And I guess for me, it's really a genuineness, because it's a weird dynamic, I think, because you have the professional side of things where you're...
Yeah, the church professional
side. Yeah, you're trying to administer certain functions of the church, which has the business side of it. You know, you have that and, maybe a more formal side of it, but I think there equally has to be a balance of that in a more of an informal side where
a genuine relationship, a real friendship.
Yeah, I think it has to be. If you don't genuinely know your pastor... and he doesn't genuinely know you, I don't think you can effectively administer to the people of any given church if you don't have that relationship.
I think that's a fantastic point. And I think somebody might be thinking like, well, how do you do that? I mean, are you placing, should a pastor place a special time above with his deacons above the rest of them? And I'd answer kind of unashamedly, yes. Jesus had no problem saying, look, these are my special guys. I spend as much time with them as I can. I'm going to spend as much time with the crowds as I can, Jesus would say. I'm going to teach the thousands. I'm going to bring in the hundreds on the hillside. But these are my guys, and I'm going to spend time with them because I know they're going to do my work whenever I'm gone. And so I think sometimes pastors feel this sense of like guilt, like, oh man, if I'm only spending time with my deacons, I'm only spending my time with that small group of people, then that's no good.
Yeah, and I think that would be a problem too if that was the case. If you were only spending all your time
that's
with your deacon,
point.
That's an issue. Yeah. But if you're not spending any time with your deacons, I think that's
so. It's a real balance. It's a good point. So we're spending time with each other. We're developing real, genuine, true relationship and friendship. There's the business side of things as well that we have to constantly work through. But it's not only that time. And that is the other side of the coin. There could be a pastor that's with his deacons, but the church is starting to grow. And as the church begins to grow, he doesn't have as much time to be hanging out as pals all the time with his deacons. And maybe that relationship is strained a little bit because now the pastor has the responsibility of dealing with all these other people. What would you say to a pastor? And literally, there's probably guys in that situation right now. They had a couple deacons, the church has grown, and suddenly they're stressed out because those who used to have all the attention of the pastor, they don't have as much attention now. And maybe there are hurt feelings. What could that pastor do to help that scenario?
I think one of the most effective things you can do is in some fashion schedule some time, even if that's a 15 or a 30 minute coffee break individually with each deacon over a period of a year. If it takes you a year to get through all of them, but you have that one-on-one time with them, there has to be a point, and I think this is what, at least for us, I think it's made our relationship good, is that I think we're both equally comfortable to let our guard down when we're together and not feel like we're always professional. So if every monthly meeting that somebody has with their deacon board is all about the business of the church, you're missing out on, I think, where the relationship can be built. And so I think that having at least one-on-one time, I know the times we have where it's 30 minutes of coffee and we're asking each other, what are we studying in the Bible right now?
Yeah.
How's your spiritual life? How's your walk with the Lord? How's your relationship with your wife? And what's going on with your kids?
Yeah.
And in 30 minutes, you could learn a lot and catch up quickly in a short period of time.
And even fun stuff. What movies have you seen lately? Where are you traveling to? What are you and your family doing next week? All of that stuff really is there. And you're right. It doesn't necessarily mean that we don't want to give the impression that what I do is I'm hanging out with my deacons every Saturday. We probably get actual outside of deacon meetings, how many conversations do we have? Mm-hmm. A couple times a year, right?
Right.
But when we do, we're first connecting as brothers in Christ.
Right.
I really think if the American mindset of within Baptist churches between pastors and deacons would step out of the boardroom a little bit and into the seashore with Jesus and his disciples and say it ought to be a little bit more of that than boardroom. We have to be professional. We've got Robert rules of order. We have these kind of things. But there really needs to be some more just relationship. And I think that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing I'd say, like, if we're giving pastors advice too, is make yourself available. So like if you were initiating the conversation with me, I think that'd be awkward.
That's
like
a good point.
I appreciate the time we spend, but like there are 1800 some odd people that you have to spend time with. So if I need you, schedule a call with Melanie, whatever, we'll go out to coffee and you're available. But like, I don't expect to walk into your office on a Monday afternoon and find you there and be like, let's have a conversation for an hour, you know? And the other thing to me is just like a personal connection. So like there are oftentimes where we're planning this podcast or when we're talking about business things, but like somewhere in that conversation, whether it's to the start or the middle, there should be a pause and be like, how are you?
Yeah.
And I wait until you answer.
Right.
And there has to be that moment of pause and connection because to me, everything else is just business.
Right. Yeah. You're asking me about my life and I'm asking you, why are you having another child?
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So this is the basis of relationship, but things go bad. Things go bad between pastors and deacons. And there are those in our audience probably right now that are stressed out because they can't look their deacon in an eye and it's very uncomfortable. And there's not necessarily been sin, but there's been fighting and there's been uncomfortability. Give your ideas of how do things go bad? How do you think that happens? This is not the first church either of you guys have been part of. How do things go bad and how do you get it back on track?
I've been part of that. So I would say probably the biggest way something gets off the tracks is lack of communication.
Yeah.
And I think it's also what can equally fix it is communication, like clearly communicating. So I think something Drew mentioned earlier, just to allude upon, is that I think the deacon's role is really to lighten your load, especially as the church grows. And, you know, from when we came here, it was 200 people. Now we're at 1,800 members or whatever. But if you're not communicating, so we know your vision, we know the mission, what we're trying to accomplish. We know on any given year, you lay out for us exactly what your sermons are going to be for an entire year. We know all the big days for calendar events. And then on our monthly meetings, we're informed about what's going on, which I think solves a lot of issues. So
that's a good point.
Yeah, if we're sitting in a Sunday sermon and you mention something we hadn't heard about, I think you start problems that way where deacons might feel like, not necessarily like they feel entitled to know everything.
Yeah.
But they do get questioned. Like,
oh, absolutely.
They're also, you know, sought out. People in the church will go to a deacon and ask them questions. And if they can't come up with the right answer that aligns with what you're doing,
they're going to look stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you look stupid, you begin to be defensive. I totally agree. And by the way, Pastor, you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, oh man, I've made mistakes. We make mistakes all the time. And many times have in the past. In fact, just a couple months ago, where I expressed to our deacons, a big plan. I reminded our deacons about a big plan about a multi-site that we are going to be doing. And in the meeting, I looked over to Fred and I said, now each of our deacons have been informed about this. And he looked at me and was like, now they are. Yeah. And I thought, oh boy. As soon as the deacon meeting was done, I'd informed our deacons that we were starting a new site, which is a pretty big deal. There were only a few in the room.
Small step of faith, right? Small step.
There's only a few deacons in the room who had been briefed on that. Yeah. And I went over to, you guys don't know this part, I went over to Fred after, I walked up to his desk and the first thing he looked at me, he's like, I am so sorry. I should have talked. I can't believe I'm like, no, no, that's fine. I should have too. I can't believe we dropped the ball. So it still happens. So what Fred did is he went out of his way to make sure he had a personal conversation with each and every one of the deacons before we went to the church and said, do you have any questions? You need to know everything before we're announcing things. So it's not always easy to make sure they're communicated to deacons. But Pastor, you've got to get in your mind, if you want your leadership, the men and women in your church that are leading, to be leading and following you, you have to inform them on what's in your heart and what's going on. Otherwise, you're going to frustrate them and they will not want to follow you.
Yeah, I think for me, these conversations, you've given us a heads up on sometimes small stuff that seems insignificant in the moment, but has later paid off. And I'll give an example. So there's a time last year when you informed us in deacon's meeting that Heather was actually performing a baptism for a lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the circumstances surrounding that was this lady had been a victim of a lot of abuse growing up and got saved, has turned her life around. And to physically have a man baptize her would stir up so many emotions from the past that would damage her.
Yeah.
I mean, and this was just an informing thing. You didn't ask her permission. Like it was just stated as a matter of fact. Yeah. Not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Well, literally fast forward to small groups that week, member of the small groups comes up and it's like, hey, like there's this thing, like I have a concern about women leading the church and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Right. And like, if you hadn't have kind of paved the way and gave the why behind that and told the backstory, like we would have been blindsided, like
totally,
and left kind of dealing the bag of like, I don't know why pastor's doing this, you know?
Yeah, that's a great example.
I was just going to add to that too. I think it's also what can cause issues. Like the deacons need to be 100% behind the pastor. So in a situation like that, where somebody asks a deacon a question, they should be able to completely confirm what the pastor's trying to do. And if a deacon doesn't know that, they can't do that.
That's a great
So
point.
Then to the church, it looks like the deacons aren't in agreement with the pastor and the pastor's not in agreement with the deacons or whatever, when it should be completely unified. So whatever the direction is that a pastor's going, if the deacons know it, their job is to support you 100% and make sure that they're actually saying the same thing. Whether or not, and it may not always be the case, and I can't think of a case off the top of my head in 9 years that I've been on that we've had issues, but it's not a matter of, are you right or wrong? It's where are we going? Okay, I'm behind you. And we may not agree on it, but I'm going to support you 100% to the church no matter what.
I think that's the big thing too, is like we've heard legends of, and I've been a part of this in the past, where like it's made its way out of a deacon's meeting to a business meeting in the church, the whole church is there and the church splits, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can disagree as much as you want behind closed doors, but when you open the door, you present a united front.
Yeah. And I think what we're saying is, it's not like in every deacon meeting, we've not had conversations and like, how is this going to work? And why are we doing this? And those kind of things. It's that once we get beyond that room, we're in agreement. Let's move forward. And I think that's essential. Otherwise, you're right. And a lot of this, I think we've hit on something. A lot of this can be eradicated if simply the pastor would just go and talk with his deacons prior to making major shifts or even some minor things that may be questionable. And Pastor, you've got to ask yourself as you're listening to this, okay, the situation that I'm dealing with, is this something that a deacon might be asked about? And if this is something a deacon might be asked about, my wife is going to be baptizing one of the new converts. Okay, maybe they need to be informed of my reasoning behind this. And like Drew said, it's not necessarily that you're getting permission if your church is set up this way, that you're getting permission. What you're saying to these individuals is, this is what's happening. This is my reasoning behind it. Will you pray for me? And if there's a problem, please answer the question, then let me know about it. Sometimes it can be taken care of that way. And sometimes in that room, you come to the realization the pastor and the deacons are just simply not on the same page. What do you do in that scenario? I think there's a few answers. I'm going to give the one side for a pastor, and then you guys give the side for a deacon. If you're sitting among a group of men that you call the deacons of your church, and you've brought an idea to them, and it's just not flying, you might need to sit back and ask yourself, are you sure you're supposed to lead in this direction? I forget what happened, but there was something probably about 7, 8, 9 years ago. I forget what it was, and I don't even remember what it was. I should have prepped for this, but I remember there was something I was really like, oh man, this is going to be great. And I went into a deacon meeting, and I had not even talked with Fred about it before. That was not a good idea. Normally, he keeps the bad ideas from coming. There's my step. Hadn't talked to anybody about it, but I remember presenting it, and I walked in fully sure that this is what we needed to do and walked out 100% certain we are not doing that. These guys are not seeing the vision for this. I remember it was when we were going to originally change our constitution. Do you remember the first time we tried to do that?
Yes.
And I remember, do you remember the pushback I got on that?
I remember another situation. There was a lot of pushback.
Okay. Maybe it's another one.
We actually plowed through and did it. And it's been the greatest blessing I think our church has seen, but.
Well, let's talk about that in a moment, because I think that shows the two sides of the same coin. Yeah. The one was I walked in and I began to sense a real pushback from every one of these men. And it wasn't like we got one deacon that's really angry and all these guys hate me all the time anyway. No, we're pretty unified. And there was just a communal understanding, ooh, pastor, this does not seem like this is the right time. But if you feel like we have to go this direction, we just need to pray about it. And I remember walking out, and I in our church constitutional setting, I still have to make the final decision. And I made the final decision. I am not going up this hill by myself. And it was about changing the church constitution in totality. What was the other one that you were familiar with?
The other one was when we actually were going to introduce small groups.
Oh, yeah.
It was very contentious, not in an argumentative way, but it was like a lot of concerns, and it was just a new concept because most everybody at that time had, you know, Sunday school, and what about Wednesday night Bible study, and
we're going out of
the
norm. Things.
And so, and because of our space issues and how we were going to handle the fellowship side of things, and I think in that case, we had an opportunity just let's pray about this, and then we're going to reconvene and talk about it again. So at least everybody had a chance to, number one, is think about it, pray about it.
Get used to the
idea.
And
not just be so like knee-jerk reaction and say no or anything of that nature, because we knew your heart and what your passion was. And you made it very clear, if this is not the avenue, what is then? Come up with a better idea.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how that meeting ended.
I can remember that.
And we came back and we're like, we can't find a better idea. And look where we're at today with, I don't know, what do we have, 75 small groups, and our church has really been blessed by it. So things like that. I guess it depends on how a pastor sees and views their deacons. So in our situation, you look at us as a sounding board to throw ideas off of. And like you said, in that case, if everybody was against it, then it gives you some indication, well, maybe it's not the right direction to go. But at the end of the day, you got to make the final decision. And if the deacons are in disagreement, even if it's 100% or against you, at the end of that meeting, if that's the direction we're going, they need to be behind you and support it, whether they like it or not.
And see, this is very similar to the way a husband and wife relationship ought work. If a husband is looking and his wife is 100% against it, he needs to give him really real pause. I'd counsel any husband, your wife is 100% against it and you're full board, you're doing it anyway. That might need to happen twice in 70 years of marriage.
Right.
You need to slow your roll. And Michael is actually expressing the submissive wife part of it. And that is, if he is 100% for it, even when you're against it, you follow because that's the leader in that scenario. And I think in a husband-wife relationship, if there's a mutual submission and love for the other and respect for the other, what's going to happen is you're going to constantly find yourself falling over one another. No, you know what? If you guys are uncomfortable with this, I don't think this is a good direction. No, pastor, if you really feel like this is what God wants us to do, then we need to do it. And that's a much better relationship to have than my way or the highway.
Right, yeah. And I think it changes over time as a church grows, because our church is big enough now that you don't, with our small groups and our small group leaders that, like Drew mentioned earlier, somebody came to a small group and brought something up, you may not see that anymore. The church is so big, it's impossible for you to know every single thing that goes on from that perspective. And so sometimes your deacons will have the voice of the church that can express that
in
the meeting.
That's a great point.
And you as the pastor want to hear that, I would think, and want to take some counsel that direction to make a decision about which way to go. So it depends on, the size of the church and how they view that. But
I think a lot of the concepts we're sharing today are super relevant, but you kind of have the blessing where you've kind of drafted your deacon's board, so to speak. You started the church 15 years ago at this point, and at this point you've chosen or nominated, you know, each deacon that's been a part of it.
Or allowed to go through the nomination process, right?
Right, right. So there's some venting before that happens, you know. But like for the pastors out there who are inheriting talent, like what's advice at that point?
Yeah, that's a great question. You might be sitting there and be like, that's great, Josh. I wish I was there with your awesome deacons. Yeah. They sound fantastic. And I would say they are fantastic. You say, well, what am I going to do with the mess that I have? First of all, I would say look at your board and ask yourself really who is a good possible deacon for the future. Mm-hmm. Just because you have a contentious or problematic board right now doesn't mean everybody on that board will be that. There might be some really good help there. So identify who it is that you can actually lead, who it is that you have influence with, and then invest in those relationships. I would say don't do anything drastic immediately, but calmly invest in those relationships. As you do that, and don't try to be a politician with this. This is not trying to win votes. This is trying to make relationships. Who can I actually help me get to help me lead this congregation of sheep for the Lord? Who can I help get me to lead this flock? Once you have a few of those, let's say you have a deacon board of four, and you've got a few guys that are with you, then at that point, you can begin figuring out, what do I need to do? If I cannot win these people to my side, what do I need to do to get them off of this board? And sometimes it's just that blunt. Get them off of the board. Now, for that, you have to look at your constitution. You have to know where the power lies and what you can do. The best thing you can do in that scenario, if you're looking at the constitution, is to do it graciously, not legally. You want to do whatever you can to allow this to take place, and that might be through a conversation. It might be sitting down with an individual who's on the deacon board and saying, hey, I want to talk with you about your service, and I want to talk to see if we're on the same page. You know, God has called us to be here. I believe God's called you to be part of this church. I believe God's called me to be part of this church. But in my role as the pastor, I feel like God is really leading me in some areas. And these are the two or three areas I believe God is leading. What I want to know is, do you feel God is leading our church in those directions as well? And you put it in their scenario. You put it in their wheelhouse to ask that question. If their answer is no, I don't believe that's where God is leading our church, but you believe it is, then that's where you have to, you know, put out the options. And there are really three options here. That is, number one, I'm going to change. Number two, you're going to change. Or number three, you might need to step off the board. There's only three options. Now, the deacon might think of a fourth, and that is you leaving, but you're going nowhere. Remember, as a pastor, if you leave, the problems stay. If you stay, the problems leave. So longevity is the key to success in ministry. Don't jump from one place to another. There's going to be another bad deacon in the next stop. So instead, stop and tell them there are three options. I'm either going to change my mind on where I'm going to lead. Either you're going to change your mind and follow, or you're going to step off the board. And then you tell them that first option of me changing isn't going to happen. This is where we're going. So really it comes down to, you're going to follow and get on board with this, or you're going to need to step off the board because I and Jack and Bill, we're heading this direction. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to take a strong stand and a strong leadership. And then you can say, look, genuinely, this is what I do. Look him in the eye and say, genuinely, it doesn't mean I don't want to be your pastor. It just might mean that you shouldn't serve in this position. Mm-hmm. You don't see where we're leading, where we're going. And it might be that one day you do serve in this position. But for now, mm-hmm. it's just not good. We have to be unified. And this is where I'm leading the church. And if you can't see that, you have to step off. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
I think you're spot on with that. I think the other aspect of that, which the genuineness in building that relationship also has I think there should be an element of training involved, because as a pastor that maybe doesn't know his deacon board, he has no idea how they've been, what kind of leadership they had before him. And I think spending time as you have that one-on-one, even if it's 15 minutes, a half hour, that there's some time training in what it is you see, what's your vision for the deacon board? Like, what do you, if you want that guy on that board, what's his role?
That's a great
point. Because the current role they have can be completely different than what that pastor needs. And that'll help him also understand, maybe I should step off the board because I don't want to do the things you're asking me to do, or it's different than what I did before. And it's okay to make them change and do different things. What we do today as deacons is completely different than what we did 9 years ago.
As 9 years, your role has changed probably three or four times. I mean, we've had like different responsibilities over you, right?
Right. Yeah, the deacon role has changed dramatically for us in the 9 years that I've been on. And just in the last year or two, it's even a lot
changed
different
again.
Than what it is. So I think that would be a good key if you have a difficult deacon that you have that meeting with and kind of talk through. And it may not be in one meeting, but over time, is to find out if they would be willing to follow and do the things like you mentioned. What's the direction that you're taking the church, and would they be willing to have some instruction to be a better deacon? I would say most, I can tell you our board's that way. I think our guys are eager to
to help you and want to help the church and want to learn. I mean, we do training sessions every month, you know, on different things, counseling and all that kind of stuff.
Totally.
That's vastly helpful to us when we're doing new things. So I would recommend that. The other thing, constitutionally speaking, is sometimes you might be, you know, a pastor listening might be very limited in what their constitution says. But another way around that is if you can expand your deacon board, and then a pastor can actually choose or have some influence in, say, additional. So, for example, if you have a deacon board of five and you're going to go to seven, there's two other people that a pastor can have some influence of who's on that can help change that over time. It may not change in a year or two, but if he's got five guys on a board that are against him all the time, and the Constitution allows for, say, seven deacons, then maybe you go seven deacons and let the pastor have some influence on those two that he can actually work with. And those two can help him maybe work the other guys to come around that if they decide that they are willing to make a change and continue. But it's going to take a process to do it.
And I think, like you said, it goes back to relationship. If you're sitting, look, take them out to the Sizzler. I don't know why that comes to mind, but take them out to the Sizzler.
They're still around? I don't know, man.
Somewhere in the country, right? But take them out and sit down and say, look, man, let's just get to know each other. Let's talk. Here's what you might find out. You might have been there for 2 years, and that deacon's been there for 20. And you know what that poor guy's gone through? He's gone through four of you.
Right.
And you know what he has a reputation of? He has the reputation of being a deacon who runs off pastors, and he doesn't want that reputation. Nobody wants that. And the fact is, he's gone through one mess after another, and all of the church is looking at him. All of the church is looking up to what is he going to say? How is he? Because this new guy, he's going to be gone in 3 years too. That's a lot of pressure for some dude who's also got a business, and he's also trying to lead his family. And now you're putting him in a situation where, well, we got to change the music next week. If we don't, nobody's ever going to come. And that guy has his, name on the lease or whatever. Has the right,
right,
right. I mean, literally, his. If he's a trustee, it means if things fall apart, his house could be taken. And you want to come and you just, well, you're complaining. Now, look, preacher, I love you, but we can be pains in the butt sometimes, and we have to be honest with ourselves. This guy might be in a very big pressured situation. And so understand, he's been there for 20 years. You've been there for two. Maybe what he needs to know is, look, I'm not going anywhere, man. Mm. I know those last four guys, they ran out on you. And I know partly they ran out on you because they had faced troubles. And part of the trouble was you being a pain in the butt or whatever. And laugh with them and talk with them and say, but I'm not going anywhere. You can trust me. I'm going to stick this through. If it goes bad. And my friend, do not be a man of God and lie. Do not say that if you're not staying. And if you're not staying, don't try to change everything so that deacon's left holding the bag. Mm. You stay, you look at him, you tell him you stay, you say, I'm going to be here. I'm telling you, those genuine, real conversations, you'd be surprised how many naysayers might really be drawn to you.
I think you're spot on there too. And I would add one other thing is that if you can provide that deacon, if you have that, say, coffee time with him one-on-one, some instruction on how to deal with church members that are complaining about him.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge issue. I think when you have a guy that's been there 20 years, a pastor that's been there for 6 months, 2 years or whatever, is that sometimes it may not be the deacon. It may be the church members complaining to the deacon because they don't like the PowerPoint you use. They don't like the version of Bible you're using. And he doesn't know how to deal with a complaining church member. And so what he'll tend to do is typically what appears to be siding with the church member because they've been there for 20 years. Where in reality,
that's not what he's doing. He's just informing the pastor.
Yes. And so
maybe in a
if the pastor would help that deacon deal with confrontation, like, okay, if that deacon would stand up to that member that's been there for 50 years and tell them, listen, I'm behind this pastor. Who cares what the PowerPoint looks like? If it, you know, I say that because I've been part of that. Someone used a blue background instead of green and somebody was upset. I didn't know how to deal with that at the time. I was very young, different church.
That wasn't here. Okay.
No, that wasn't here. But I think that's a valid point when you have a situation with deacons that have been around a long time and a church that's been around a long time and a young pastor or a new pastor to a church. Just helping them know how to navigate the church member because they're going to go to them before they'll go to the pastor.
What you're saying is it might appear to you like this guy's your enemy, but the fact is he's just reflecting the spirit that all these other people are smiling at you at Sunday, but they're telling this guy, and he has to carry the burden of everybody's attitude.
Yeah.
And he's trying to tell you, but he doesn't know how to tell you. And so maybe give him a benefit of the doubt and say, okay, where are you getting this? Why do you feel this way? Who feels this way? It's okay. You can give me names. What are you carrying? And if you genuinely attempt to shepherd him, your first reaction is not to get rid of him. Genuinely try to shepherd him. You'd be shocked at who you might be able to lead forward.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been an awesome conversation, man. We didn't even get to everything that we wanted to talk about, but maybe we can have another conversation about deacons down the road if our audience is interested in that, and Drew decides we can do that, right?
That's it.
Okay. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Michael, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah. And Michael, you've actually been involved with Idea Network events, haven't you?
Yes, I have, actually, yeah.
Yeah. What did you teach last time? What were you part of?
We did about how to engage the business community at the January session this year.
Okay, very cool. So Idea Day West, that was the Idea Summit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, 2019, yep.
And for those who have not yet been, we have upcoming, not too far from now, is our Idea Day West 2020 in January 27th and 28th. Go to ideanetwork.church and sign up. We can't wait to see you there.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.